Let's see. We're going to. I want to introduce what we're going to be doing here for the next 8 weeks. Today, we're going to kick off a series in the book of Revelation. And so, you know, this past spring, actually, we're just going to do the seven churches in Revelation. And but this past spring, I had the opportunity, Bill and I both, we went to Turkey and we did the seven churches tour. And so we got back, Bill goes, "We got to do it." I'm like, "No, bro, we're in the middle of another series of Hebrews. We'll get to it later." And so Bill is really nerding out on this, and he really wants to get into it and pull out all of his, you know, archaeological stuff. And so he's going to kick it off next week in the book of Ephesians, in the church of Ephesus, the first church there. But today I just want to talk about Jesus, amen. Revelation chapter 1. And so just kind of to set our series up here a little bit. Now, for some people, when you hear the book of Revelation, it's like immediately you get foggy. You're like, "I don't know what to do." And then there's some of us, we're like experts on the book of Revelation. I don't know if such a thing exists, but there are people that are trying to become experts on the book of Revelation. Some people think they understand it very well. I'm not one of those people, by the way. Amen. I'll admit, there's a lot in the book of Revelation. I'm going, "I don't know what that, I don't know. I have no answer for you," okay? Some of it is very speculative. There's a lot of speculation about a lot of things, but we're not going to get into the end part. We're just going to focus on the seven churches, which I believe are a little bit easier to grasp. But more importantly, this book of Revelation. You ever hear anyone say the book of Revelations? Book of Revelations. There's no S, okay? It's a revelation, okay? This book is the unveiling. This book is the reveal. It would be like if I had something up here that I wanted to unveil, I would put something over it, and I'd say at 10:45, I'm going to unveil this thing. That is what the book of Revelation is. It is the reveal. It is the unveiling. And it's not the unveiling of who the Antichrist is. But it is the unveiling of Jesus. Amen. It's the revelation of Jesus. Like none of the disciples and none of us had ever seen him before. And so if you just read the book of Revelation trying to find out what those three sixes mean, trying to find out when Armageddon's going to happen, trying to find out what the Antichrist is and when he's going to come and who he is and which president he actually is. This is appropriate that a U.S. president is the Antichrist, right? We're so high on ourselves, right? Our president's the Antichrist. Okay, you know, punk. Trying to figure out when it's all going to end. If that's all you're looking for when you read the book of Revelation, then you're missing the reveal. Yeah. You're missing what the book is really all about. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Come on, Ben.
And so I'm going to read chapter 1. And I'm going to spit and holler a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? You with me? If I was going to have 4 points for this, it would be the purpose of the book. It would be the posture of John. It would be the portrait of Jesus. And it'd be the promises he gives all of us. Let's pray. God, you are excellent. You are so precise. I love, God, how perfect you are in every way. We are so imperfect, but we thank you that you are perfect. We thank you that you've given us in your word really kind of a book that is simple but not easy. Following you is simple, but it's certainly not easy. And God, we maybe sometimes we master in making the simple things more complicated. And maybe sometimes oversimplifying things that are maybe complicated and things that we don't even necessarily need to know about. But God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you care so much about us. And thank you that you reveal yourself to us. And you always have, reading through the Old Testament. We see you, Jesus, when we open our eyes. And I pray that this morning that our eyes will be open. Our hearts will be open. That we will see you and perhaps even see ourselves in ways that we never have before. And even as we go through and look at the seven churches, may we really just sort of be able to kind of grasp a little bit better of how that is appropriate for us today, our church today, and not just for us individually, but us collectively. I pray that we will stop only seeing ourselves as individuals, but seeing ourselves as part of something so much bigger and greater. Seeing ourselves part of the church, which is part of this universal movement that you've had since the creation that you've been planning in. Help us to not think so small, like we think when we're only thinking about ourselves. And we're only thinking about our problems or our difficulties, or even our ups, for that matter. But help us to look to you, Jesus, and to think more like you. We love you. We need you. We thank you. I pray you'll help me to remember the things that need to be said here this morning and just forget what doesn't need to be said. And God, I pray as always, if we need to be comforted this morning, you'll comfort us. And God, if we need to be made uncomfortable, God, please make us uncomfortable. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Verse 1, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. To seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice with a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death in Hades. And the church said,
amen. Amen.
The purpose of this book of Revelation, the purpose of the letter to the churches, the purpose of our church, the purpose of our being here, our purpose, it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. Amen. And I think it was JB that said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen. It's always been about Jesus. That's the purpose of it all. I know we can get a little kind of mixed up sometimes. Sometimes we kind of think it's about our country. Or we can think it's about our skin color or our culture or our gender or something else. We can think it's about a lot of different things, but it is always about Jesus. The purpose of this book, lest you be confused, you can get sidetracked by all the things that are there. So what's up with that dragon and the woman and what's happening, you know, and when is that all going to happen? And I'm looking for a dragon, you know? But this is always, always about Jesus. When we look at the seven churches, it's good for us to be thinking, this is Jesus addressing the seven churches. John said, he told me to write this down, and he said, send it to the seven churches. And you go, why seven churches? There were more churches. Galatia's not mentioned here. Thessalonica isn't mentioned here. You know, church in Rome, Jerusalem isn't mentioned. Well, we know that the number seven represents what? In the Bible, completion, okay? And so this, what you need to know is what is written to the seven churches. It's not just for these seven churches. It's for the Gateway City Church. It's for all churches. It's for everyone. And so what is written here? This is not something that was written for them. This is written for us. Amen. And as we go through this, you're going to be able to convict it. You're going to see the church in Ephesus, and you know Bill's going to make it come alive. He's got pictures. I think he even brought dirt back. I don't really know. His PhD, if you don't know, Bill's doctoral work was archaeological digs. And so he did a lot of digging, so he calls himself a dirty theologian, which is a little creepy. It's a little creepy, but, you know, it works. But everything, as we go through it, let's not get focused on history. Let's make sure that we are focused exclusively on Jesus. And that's what John wants us to kind of know, that this came from Jesus. This is from Jesus. And I love, if you think about John, you think about his posture. I want you to look at this. Verse 9. Revelation was written toward the end of the first century. 90-something, which would make John himself about 90, okay? Roughly 90. I don't know exactly how old he was. But he says, and this is the great apostle John. I mean, this is a guy that when you see those pictures, you know, this is a guy leaning on Jesus. He was one of the three. He calls himself the beloved, right? He basically says, Jesus loved me more than the rest of the guys, you know? And he's the last one living. And he says, I, John, not the great apostle, not the guy who was ride or die with Jesus, not the guy that was standing there that Jesus goes, John, take care of my mom. I'm not that John. I'm your brother. And I'm your companion. I'm just John, your brother. His posture is totally humility. He's totally humble. He is humble. It's something about, right? As he got older, he didn't get more cocky and more prideful and more great and more awesome. He's just like, I'm your brother. And I'm your companion. That's all I am. In the suffering and in the kingdom. In the patient endurance, I'm waiting. All the other guys have They've got the goal of their faith. I'm still here, but I'm just hanging out. And here's the kicker. He had been exiled to the island of Patmos. So out my window at this place we stayed, I look out my window and I'm going, this is beautiful. And someone goes, that's Patmos. I'm going, like Patmos in the Bible? That's it right there? That little mountain? I was looking at the island of Patmos. Now, it was a long ways away, but I was at the base of it. I was at the Aegean Sea looking out, and I could see Patmos and just think, my brother John was rocking it out. No, literally. He was exiled there to work in a rock quarry. This was a labor camp. They sent, the Romans had maybe 50 of these type islands out in the water, and they would take their prisoners, like, put them on there, put them there. John, he goes to Patmos, and John is there, 9 years old, for his faith, and he's working in a rock quarry, busting rocks. That's what he gets. That's what you get for being a disciple. That's what you get. I don't know what you thought you were going to get. I know you thought it was going to be easy, but you're going to end up persecuted. You're going to end up on the island of Patmos. But I love this part. Verse 10, while he's a prisoner, basically in slavery, on the day of the Lord, I was in the spirit. Amen. On the day of the Lord, I mean, I got trouble around me. I'm in exile. I got friends I ain't seen. I ain't never going to see them again. I got family I'm never going to see them again. But on the day of the Lord, I was in the spirit, baby. I was close to God. It was the day of the Lord, and I was having church. You know what I'm saying? It was awesome. I wasn't complaining about my work. I wasn't complaining about my circumstances. His posture was not only one of humility, but it was one of lordship still. Jesus is Lord. When I said it, I meant it. And it doesn't matter what happened, he will always be Lord. Come on, Dad. I'm telling you, you might be having a bad day. You might be having a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, or from your perspective, a bad life. But boy, this is rough. And he is in the spirit. We have no reason. I mean, we have reason to complain. But should we complain?
No.
Is it really that hard for you to get to church on Sunday morning? Is it really that hard? Is it really that hard for us to be all in and all out for Jesus? Is it really that difficult? I tell you what, it takes a posture of humility, and it takes a posture that is in the spirit. And that's why you gotta come together, because I'm telling you, when you're by yourself, you're not always your best self. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're not always our best selves when we're by ourselves. It's good to be with brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
But I love this posture, because I think if John could come back today, he'd go, it's so good to see you, Van. Oh, my God, of course, good to see you, bro. Good to see you, Lydia. You're awesome. I don't even know who you are, he'd say, but I love you, girl. He'd be hugging all of us. He'd be here. At 90 years old, I think John would probably play kickball with us. I don't know. But he would just be so excited to be in your presence. He says, I'm your brother, and I'm your companion. I'm with you guys. Isn't that a beautiful posture to have? And then he says, you know, he's caught up in the spirit, and he heard something behind him, and he turned around, and it said, hey, write on the scroll. And he turned around and to see the voice. And he saw Jesus the way he had never seen him before. That's not the last time I saw you, Jesus, you didn't look like this. He saw something. It was just, oh my gosh, that's Jesus. And he paints a picture for us, one that it's hard to believe. His eyes are like fire. His feet are like bronze. They stripped his clothes. They were bloody and they gambled for him. But look at you dressed now, Jesus, in all white with a gold sash around you. You are a boss, Jesus. I always knew it. It is a beautiful picture. And why are his eyes blazing? Because he goes, I've seen it all. I see the trouble you're going through, John. I see the persecution you're enduring. I see how people have treated you. I've seen it all. I see everything you're going through. I see the struggles. I told you I'd be with you to the end of the age, and I see you. I see you. I see you. His eyes are blazing. And yes, he comes with these bronze feet of judgment, of course, because it's his job to judge the world. But he is. His hair is white. He is wise. He has earned that white robe and that gold sash, and he is beautiful. And John goes, I just fell down dead. Yeah, a moment ago, I could just die and I'd be happy. He just fell down like dead. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that amazing? That is the posture we need to have. But do you think about Jesus that way? Are we remembering this Jesus? The Jesus with the seven lampstands. And in the middle, I saw what was the Son of Man. And I'm telling you, it was something. John goes, I'm going to try to put it in writing for you. But it just won't. Trust me. It was something to see. Don't you look forward to seeing that Jesus? Amen. I look forward to waiting that long fellowship line to just give him a hug. Okay? I know down here we can't wait for anything. But oh, man. I look forward to waiting. I'll be looking. Come on, bro, hurry up, man. You know? You got your hug, move, you know? I can't wait. What a beautiful image. But he closes this out, and I'm going to close this out. He says, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on John. And he did for John what I believe he does for us. And he did for John what I believe he wants to do for the church. And he says something that is so familiar. Because over 100 times in the gospel, Jesus could be found saying, don't be afraid. Some variation of that, fear not, but don't be afraid. Because he knows. Why did he say it so often? Because he knows how fearful we are. We're fearful. We live with a lot of fear. In fact, we make more decisions out of fear. We make a lot of decisions because we're afraid. We don't often word it that way, but we're worried. We're fearful. I mean, even our kids, we're fearful about our kids. I hate it when I see parents, newborn parents, and they're fearful. They're like, okay, I got to make sure the kid eats everything perfect, and I got to make sure everything, and they get the right sleep. And I mean, they just kind of like, I got to make sure. I'm like, it's a baby. It's going to fall asleep when it's tired. Trust me. It'll be like this. But it's asleep, and they're worried about, oh, my God, they're so scared. Like, you're afraid they're going to grow up and be like you? You're going to raise all these little perfect babies, right? All these perfect, I mean, but if fear drives so much of what we do and how we act. Fear. That's why Jesus says, don't fear. Do not be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I got you. I said I'd be with you always to the very end of the age, and I will. And as he addresses these churches, and he addresses us, and he comes in, he goes, hey, I love this, I love that, but this is a problem, okay? This is great, and that's great, but this is a problem. And some of us have a hard time hearing what's really going on. Well, if you're going to be close to Jesus, guess what? He's not always going to be going, Vincent, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one. Go, Vince. Jesus, some of us live in this world we're a little bit like, right? We're like the Lord is going to be honest with you. I like this. This is good. This is a problem, Vince. I have this against you. You got this against me? Yes, I have this against you. I can't believe Jesus got something against me. Well, he didn't kick you out. He just said, this needs to be fixed or corrected. Because we're not perfect. You're raising perfect children, but you're not perfect. Amen? How could any of you possibly raise a... You can't raise it. If they're connected to you, they got issues, okay? But I'm going off on a tangent. It's a parenting devotional for another day, okay? But he says, I'm with you. I'll be there. Don't be afraid. The first and the last. I am the living one. And then he goes and he says the second thing here. He says, I was dead and now I'm alive. I'm going to wipe away your tears. I'm going to take away your fears. That's the promise. If you stay with me, you won't have to fear. But the second one is just as I rose from the dead, and I did, and you saw it, and I'm back here again, you too will live a new life. You too will rise again. You too will raise from the dead. It's going to be amazing. And you're going to get your crown, and it'll be beautiful. And the last promise is, he says, and I got the keys. I got the keys. I've got the keys, and I'm telling you, I'm going to open the door for you. Amen. And it's going to be something amazing. Because no eye will have seen and no ear has heard. So, John, get up. You got some writing to do. You've got to talk to the church. You've got to communicate to the church, and you've got to fire them up. You've got to inspire them, and you've got to tell them to keep going. You got to tell them to hang in there. And I know your situation and your circumstances are not ideal, John. Trust me, I believe I see that. But I'm with you. Even in the midst of the most difficult of times, yeah. I see you. I see you, dog. And I'm going to take care of you. I hope that as we go through these books over the next several weeks, you see Jesus. You allow your eyes to be open to the revelation. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.